This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, cvillepodcast.com.
Let's talk a little local real estate with the folks from Nest Realty. I'm joined live in studio by Jim Duncan. He blogs at realcentralva.com and is a regular guest on this program. Keith Davis, also from Nest Realty. He blogs at dirtaroundgrounds.com. Good afternoon, guys.
Hey, Coy.
Coy, how are you?
Very good. Welcome to the program. So let's get right to it. Jim, where are we? What's the latest, the good news and the bad news about what's going on in the real estate market here in Central Virginia?
It could be a great time to buy. For some people, I think it really could be a fantastic time to buy. But realistically, when you look at the market, you have to really dig for the positive signs that are out there. I've been showing a lot of houses recently, and there are some, they're not real deals per se, but we're seeing more and more sellers are pricing their homes to sell from day one, which is crucial. And a lot of sellers are in the position where they are negotiating, and they're being more honest with themselves and with their realtors. And I think that that's a good thing. Again, I think that when you look at where we are, I think that in context, we're probably tracking well behind the Northern Virginia market, which we always refer to them as our sort of big brother. I think that they are where we want to be. So
they've already had some serious recovery then. Could you argue that?
No. I mean, some of my friends up there who are realtors and real estate bloggers as well or have written stories saying that the prices there got slashed in half almost in some parts of Northern Virginia. That was last year. And this year, the volume was up 40-45%. So they had significant price cuts, and then people dealt with it, and now people are buying again. It's certainly not recovery per se.
Yeah. But the prices, because there's more volume, the prices corrected faster than they would in a smaller market where you don't have the volume. Is that the point?
Yeah, and I'm actually working on a story that I'll put out next week where I think that there's more to it than that, especially in a small market. I think there's a psychology about it as well, being in a small town that makes prices in Charlottesville stickier. So it's I'm working through it.
Where sellers are less open to coming down on their price.
Because they're in neighborhoods and they know people around them, whereas Northern Virginia was far more transient than it was here.
Oh, interesting.
And I'm sort of fleshing that idea out, but I think that there's some merit to the fact that Charlottesville, being a smaller town, you know your neighbors and their friends, and you are less inclined to go the short sale or the foreclosure route because you know the people around you that's going to impact. Whereas Northern Virginia, there was just so much, much more volume in building that there was less buy-in into the community.
Yeah, yeah.
So I think that there's some real merit to that.
So we're talking with Jim Duncan and Keith Davis from Nest Realty. So what's the latest on the volume and sale prices, Keith?
Right now, Coy, what we've kind of seen is a real shift. We're looking at the prices in the city and the county. Are down this year. There's no doubt about it. When you're looking at kind of peak to where we are today, the city's tracking about 12.5-13% off in terms of median prices. The county's looking 20% off from their peak. But the county peaked earlier. The city has seen a greater change this year than the county has seen. The county did not hold as strong through 07 and 08 as the city did. In 09, the city has taken its toll on the city prices and the numbers. Actual total volume is down roughly, 30% across the board, and if not, a little bit more. We're probably at total volume for the overall market's about 30%, but in Louisa County, for instance, heavily hit, 56% down this year.
And that's as compared to this time last year. Is that what you're saying?
Correct.
Now, I read a comment on some blog somewhere. It might have been on one of y'all's pages, but I read somewhere where I thought it was a valid comment. Somebody said, we can't continue to compare this year versus last year or this year versus even 2 years ago because the past few years have been an anomaly. So how far do we go back so that we can have apples to apples?
Yeah, that was actually one of my commenters, one of my favorite ones. I think he's right. I think he's right to a certain degree, and Keith and I were debating this earlier. I think that taking these last 5-7 years out of context would not be good. We have to look at it by virtue of the fact that it is the recent history. But I think that the buyers that we're seeing today in our businesses are different. I mean, the people that I was selling to, 5 years ago were looking to sell in they're looking at their time to sell in months sometimes, where now you're looking at
so years. They were looking to flip something.
Well, wait, they were not flip, but they were here, you know, 2 years for law school or 2 years right. for Darden. I mean, it was or you know 3 years for med school, and you know those people come in and they're able to sell in 3 years and make a sometimes significant profit. Whereas now the buyers that are coming in that I'm working with at least are looking at you know 4, 5, 7, 10 year timelines. I mean, I have a couple clients that I'm working with, you know, and I've been working with for years, looking for as they refer to as one of their dying house. You yeah, know, where they, you know, they have kids and they want to buy that next house where they're going to be for 50 years or 40 years.
Yeah. yeah.
So I think that you have a it's a fundamental shift in the buyer psychology as well. So I mean, he's right in the respect that the last several years were not an aberration, but there's certainly nothing we've seen before.
Yeah. Yeah. Very, very unique. So it makes it difficult then to compare this year to those very unique years.
Right. And when you look at the volume that we've seen, at Nest, we're very, very, very data heavy, and so we're frustrated with the quality of the data that we have. So when you look at the numbers of 500 some odd were sold in June of 07, I think, or 06, it's difficult to pull out the number of those that were new construction. You know, and we still had significant new construction.
Yeah.
And
you'd like to be able to drill down just a little bit, a few more layers to correct. Know exactly what you're looking at.
Correct.
Might help you see some trends.
Right.
Yeah. So, Keith, what's it? We're talking with Keith Davis and Jim Duncan of Nest Realty. What's the latest on the sale prices?
Well, I think, you know, if we're looking, you were saying how far back do we need to go? I mean, in the city, our prices are really tracking about 04 numbers right now. The county, maybe not quite that far back, you know, early 05 numbers, but we're still substantially, you know, looking past history to find comparable prices. But one of the things that I just want to kind of point out, one thing Jim said, you know, the quality of data, the amount of data. If we're looking just at condos right now, to look at what a median price is on condos is very abstract. You know, back in 05, the county sold almost 200 condos year to date, you know, mid-year. We've sold a total of 32 condos this year. So the median prices are kind of irrelevant. You need to look project by project, condo by condo, size by size, and it's very, the data is just not out there to support a whole lot of information and to make judgments.
So condos. So we really don't know if condos are moving or not. Is that what you mean?
Well, we know they're not moving. There's no question about that.
Yeah,
they're down.
So a lot of them are sitting empty right now.
There are projects that have been built that have not been fully sold out. There's one large project that's going up right now as we speak. There are several. And
is that the Gleason?
The Gleason is under construction right now.
Yeah.
That's slated for the commercial side will supposedly move in. I believe they're slated for first quarter of next year to begin their individual shell build out.
Yeah. We were talking before we went on the air, and we're talking with Keith Davis and Jim Duncan of Nest Realty. We were talking before we went on the air about how it's hard to find another big project going up around the city without looking at UVA. And the Gleason downtown, right near y'all's office, right next to the downtown ACAC, has been going gangbusters. There's people on that project every day. Every time I see it, I think, gosh, why can't they go over to that place on the mall and build that hotel? Because they obviously have some financing there that wasn't a problem. That place is going to be beautiful. It's huge.
It's a great project. There are 36 residential units on that. The current numbers of what they're showing, at least on their website, is that 16 of them have been pre-sold. So it's not a done deal for them yet. But,
yeah.
But they are moving forward. The construction's going on. It looks great. They're on, you know, on time. So that is very positive. But aside from that, you know, there are other projects, the 550 that has been approved and is waiting. That's done on Water Street. The Water House between Water and South Street has been approved and is still pending construction. Common Hall is on Park Street. That was approved 2 years ago and has never begun the renovation process. So there are, you know, there are other projects in the wings that would like to get their feet off the ground. But right now, financing's not there and the buyers aren't there.
And on a related note, I was having lunch on the downtown mall today, and just I couldn't help but notice all the for rent signs on the mall for office space and for some apartments.
Right,
they're everywhere. Mm-hmm. I mean, there are so many empty places downtown right now. It may be hard to see, but behind a lot of those windows, there's a lot of empty offices down there.
But the mall is always busy. I mean, one of the beauties of working our office being close to the mall is we're there on the mall frequently, and it's always hustling and bustling, and people are always out there.
Yeah,
and it's kind of a contradictory statement.
Which
you know?
We can't always say that. For the first 20 years, there was nobody down there, and then all of a sudden it just clicked. And it is. I had lunch down there today. It was unbelievable. It was packed in the middle of the day.
Yeah.
We're talking with Jim Duncan and Keith Davis of Nest Realty, and the phone lines are open. If you got a question, 977-1070. Jim, y'all want to talk about this home valuation code of conduct, and what does that mean?
We touched on it last time, and as always, I'll have a post coming up later tonight or tomorrow with show notes of everything we've discussed.
And that's at realcentralva.com.
Right, and it is the new method by which appraisers are put at a further arm's length from the lenders. And the challenge that has come up in many cases is that some appraisers locally and across the country are being pulled in from other markets. So to use Charlottesville, you might get an appraiser from Orange who really doesn't know this market.
I heard an appraiser from Roanoke did a property here in Charlottesville.
You know,
what's going on? I've never even heard of that. My mom was a real estate agent and an appraiser in the Northern Virginia market for almost 40 years. And, of course, I grew up in this business. I never heard of that.
Right.
I mean, what's going on? Is this a new law, right?
It's a new law. And it's a knee-jerk reaction to, the perception was that there was a lot of fraud and sort of patting on the back and getting things done just for the sake of getting it done during the boom time. And the HVCC is a response to that. But in my opinion, it just goes too far because it does not have the accountability within the appraisers.
Well, so what happened was the New York Attorney General basically felt that appraisers were forced into appraising properties at full sales price in order to make deals happen. And if they didn't do that, they would be fired from the banks, never hired again for future appraisals.
So, yeah, because they depend upon the bank calling them to make their living.
Exactly. So what the HVCC has done is put a middleman who is a service, one of them is called FiServ, who the banks then submit a list of acceptable appraisers to that service. The service then does all the ordering. The service takes care of timing of who gets which appraisals, and the banks cannot change that list. They cannot take anyone off without showing severe fraud in terms of the way the appraiser's working. So you land up with a service that is hiring from their full list of bank acceptable appraisers that are not necessarily from this area. So that's why you could easily have a Roanoke appraiser coming to Charlottesville to do an appraisal on a $300,000 house.
And they don't know the community. I mean, they don't know. It baffles me that we're doing this, that this got through, because it just because you end up with this an appraiser trying to value a home when they don't know anything about the area or the neighborhood or comps aren't necessarily going to give you. I mean, it's not always I learned this. Appraising is an art, and it sometimes it's not just the numbers.
I have a client who contacted me a few weeks ago trying to refinance her house, and they said, we have two appraisals from two different banks. Can you take a look at it and tell me why they're different? The two numbers were from $570,000 to $925,000. Now, I'm not saying either one of those numbers was right, but clearly one of the appraisers understood the market, or maybe neither understood the market, but they could not both have been accurate appraisals.
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense. Now, what's been the reaction on the part of realtors and lenders to this new law?
Frustration and ignorance, I think. There hasn't been enough education to everybody involved, and there's not enough understanding of what the impacts are. I mean, I've read stories saying that lenders do not actually have to use the list that's provided to them, you know, which is bizarre because you assume that it is. And then I also read another story saying there's no mechanism in place by the government to enforce these rules. So I think that the reaction has been, you know, just acceptance of where we are, that we have to abide by these rules, but we are seeking to change and alter that in any way that we possibly can because, as I've written numerous times, all we want are accurate appraisals. I mean, it's not a matter of, you know, getting an appraisal to hit a number. It's really just an accurate appraisal that reflects the value of the property based on what the buyer and seller have agreed to pay.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's fascinating. It's frustrating.
What's always frustrated me about it is, number one, I just hate appraising for the simple fact that if you got somebody who wants to buy a house for $300,000, why do I need an appraiser to come in and tell me, yeah, it's worth $300,000? It's worth $300,000 because that guy wants to pay you $300,000.
You know, it's a crazy world.
The market value is just that. It's already been determined.
Yeah.
You know, but I guess you need a lender, a bank, wants some type of substantiation other than, you know, what somebody's offering the buyer.
In principle, it seems like it's reasonable, but I think that as with everything in this market, we're working our way through the changes and the shifts and responding to them. So, you know, it is the way it is, but we need to fix it.
We're talking with Jim Duncan and Keith Davis of Nest Realty. Before we let you go here at the bottom of the hour, give us an update on this $8,000 tax credit for new home buyers or for folks, it also applies to folks who haven't owned, what, in the last 3 years?
3 years.
Yeah.
It is not a reason to buy, but it can be a compelling reason to at least consider buying. And if you have not owned a home in the last 3 years, you're a first-time home buyer, and you buy a home before that closes before November 30th, then you could you can get that $8,000 tax credit back from the buyer, from the government.
Is there any word that they might be extending this thing?
There are 5 bills floating around Congress right now that are looking to either extend it to next year, and another one is saying, you know, increase it from $8,000 to $15,000.
They ought to go to $15,000 for the new home buyers and to $8,000 for everybody else. You know, I mean, cool. If they really want to see this improve, help this market along, give every home buyer an $8,000 tax credit, not just the first time.
You know me, Coy. I'm with Ron Paul. I just want to give everybody $1 million and we all be equal. I think it's something that people need to consider it's free money from the government. So a lot of my buyers are very cognizant of it. It's not I'm going to buy a house because of this $8,000, but it's, you know.
It factors into your, when you go shopping, and it factors in there.
Yeah. And in part, it's driving what transactions are occurring this year. I mean, if you look within the city, 71% of the houses have sold for less than $325,000 this year. That's an enormous number compared to years past. And part of it is the downward shift in price, but part of it is also who the active buyers are in this market, which is, thankfully, and this is what we've been asking for 2 years, is the entry-level buyers coming back.
Yeah.
And that's necessary.
And that's going to help us in the next few cycles as those entry-level buyers look to move up.
It's necessary for that entry-level seller to move to their second home.
Yeah. Keith Davis blogs at dirtaroundgrounds.com. Jim Duncan, you can check him out online at realcentralva.com. They're with Nest Realty. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Coy.
Thank you.
Appreciate the update.
You've been listening to Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. Charlottesville Right Now is broadcast live Monday through Friday on News Radio 1070 WINA from 4 to 6 p.m. Best-selling author and historian Coy Barefoot is the host and producer. To interact with Coy and his guests, you can call 434-977-1070. Coy can be reached at barefoot@wina.com. This audio download has been made possible by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. Visit cvillepodcast.com for more.